at you from that purple room next to the alley. This is Wedding SWAT. SWAT standing for Special Weddings. Awesome talent.
Take two.
Take two. Had a little snafu this morning. And always along with the ride here are these two gentlemen who like to follow me around and, I don't know, talk to me. He got me, pushed the wrong buttons there. Here we go. There's the right one. We have the bolded, the beautiful, the bearded. Well, it's been cut a little bit there. A
little bit. Also, calling it the right one, I think, is generous.
Right.
I still love that sound.
But it's a little great. Uneven, though.
It's not uneven. It's just me waking up after 3 hours of sleep a half hour ago.
Yeah, but the beard looks a little uneven, though.
Nah, I don't think so. I think it looks...
It looks a little longer on the right side compared to the left.
You're just
closer to that side is what it is. And that other voice you hear is... Retired Master Sergeant, Mr. David Airborne Toms.
Don't worry, we've already given Dave his medical attention for that stroke he had.
I had a stroke this morning, about 30 seconds ago, a minute ago, where I started the intro music and had no idea what to say after that. It was a blank.
You know what it is?
He was just sitting there.
You haven't had enough coffee.
I just, what it is.
He spilled it.
On that note, we've had... I spilled my coffee. Mm-hmm. And...
Oh, hit that one button now. Turn it. There you go.
It was a sad time.
All right, Mr. Holinsky, have a seat on the couch and we'll start your hour.
Okay.
How about you tell me what you're feeling right now?
I am feeling about talking about some of the biggest wedding music mistakes and how to avoid them.
Great transition.
I know. Isn't that a great transition?
That was wonderful.
It's a great transition because, you know, it's still a little bit dead season. Although, Mr. Log Dog, your last eval just came in this morning. 10 out of 10 as usual.
From this last weekend?
For Mars Pet. Yes. Pet. Was that last this last weekend?
Yes.
I have to admit, I'm honestly surprised. They wanted a dance floor and my God, did four people like that dance floor.
Not everybody's a dancer. Now, were there like pets and stuff at this place?
No.
Oh, see, that's what we sent you. We're like, oh, Logan's going to love this. It's going to be dogs and cats.
No, I showed up and set up equipment, and then they announced that we're going to do food, and they fed me and our trainee Rico, right, who's doing pretty well, I'd say. I think he's got some potential in here.
Good, good.
And it was good food, and I ate it, and we played background music. Then they did a raffle, and then after the raffle was over, like half the crowd disappeared, and I started playing dancing music, and I only ever got 1, 2, 3, or 0 people on the dance floor at any given time.
Right.
All the way up till about 10 o'clock, at which point we shut her down. And I think I had the last 10 minutes or something devoted to karaoke from this one woman. She was very, very into it. And I'm like, at this point, we've got nothing else going on. Go for it.
Right. Right. All right.
Happy that they're happy.
I figured that there would be pets and stuff around there being, that was kind of what it was all about. Wasn't it grooming?
I think Mars Pet Care is a factory.
Okay.
I think they make pet
just
food.
A really late Christmas party.
Yeah, it was a Christmas party.
How many people were there?
It's peak, probably close to 100 or so, maybe 150.
Mm. Okay. All right. Well, there you are. Well, Mars, I hope that you have it again, and we will be back if you need it. But thank you for the 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
It even said that you were great. So
as long as they're happy, you know, I don't necessarily care if there's a big dance floor or at any event, as long as the client's happy with what they're getting.
But absolutely.
It's very much that kind of thing where you sit there as a DJ when you have an empty dance floor and you go, I'm not a dentist. I can't go out there and start pulling teeth. So,
right. So, well, and those things are a little bit harder to do than the dance for a wedding because the energy is not there. You got to create the energy and you can only do so much to create that energy.
I was talking to my father and he said, yeah, when you work with people for 40 hours a week, do you really think they want to go there and party together?
Well, there you go. So basically, from prioritizing the wrong decor to not leaving enough time to get ready, there are countless mistakes that you can make throughout your big day, and most of them will get totally unnoticed by your guests. But there is one area, gentlemen, for your entire reception that could suffer if things go awry, and that is making a wedding music mistake. And we've got how many years of experience? I got 25 years DJing. You've got what, seven?
Yes.
And you're about close, eight?
I'm coming up to nine.
Coming up to nine. So there you go. We have over about 40 years of experience as a DJ in the wedding industry right here in this room alone. And so the biggest one that this blared at me when I was started researching this topic was not hiring a professional. Hiring your neighbor or hiring the guy down the street or, oh, yeah, I could do that for $200.
Mm-hmm. He's a friend of the friend.
So, or your 16-year-old cousin maybe wants to be an aspiring DJ. But
listen, I will defend if you are having a very small, very informal event and you already wanted to buy like a good speaker for something. Sure. Have your friend come out and do it. Have a family member do it, and that's if you're not going to have any announcements that right. are really, you know, beyond, yep. hey, we're about to do this, yep. right? Like backyard barbecue, I get it. We had to do a bunch of those after COVID.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're going to have more people, if you're going to have a lot of announcements to make, if you're going to want someone to help you coordinate this yeah. thing when you hit the reception.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that you may want to hire your 16-year-old cousin that seemed trying to be that inspiring DJ. And I get it. He's excited. He's like, yes, I'll do this first gig for free. That'll get my name out there. It won't. You need to do several events before your name comes out there, because if you think about it, it's basically your closest friends and family. Mm-hmm. They're going to know everybody that's in the room usually. And plus, there's not really anywhere to go outside of that, except for maybe a couple people here and there. So that's why it takes a couple of events to do this, but it doesn't take you long to realize.
You have to take a grain of salt when recommendations come from family anyway.
Right.
Yes.
You get what you pay for, especially when you realize the set list isn't what you discussed or what you're listening to, or that experimental remix that he made of your first dance song, which, yes, has happened at events I've been at where I'm going, what is he doing? Oh, my God. Why did they not hire us for a DJ? And the reason was, well, my cousin wanted to do it for free, which is fine. Family helps family. I get that. But there are just some things where you just got to go.
One of the first mistakes every new DJ makes is playing the music they like at yeah. the reception,
yeah.
not oh, yes. the music yes. that is needed and wanted.
Right. So it's pretty simple. You know, hiring a professional DJ, I think, honestly, and Logan, you're going to love this. You're going to love this. I think it's like bringing in a wedding superhero. with that big old DJ on his chest, you know. They know how to read a room. They can gauge the vibe. They can adjust the volume, which is huge, especially if you're in a smaller venue where they have to set up tables right next to the DJ console. And you know what those tables usually are? The reserve tables. So you got music blaring in grandma's ear all night. Mm-hmm. So a professional DJ will know how to compensate for that a little bit. I mean, we can't completely do with no music there, but
usually the first recommendation
is earplugs.
There you go.
No, my usual first thing is like, if you haven't set up the reception hall yet, put as much space between me and everyone right. else as possible.
Right. And that's another wedding mistake that we'll go over a little bit in another podcast. But where to set that DJ up? And, you know, and if you have three or four tables in front of them and then the dance floor, that DJ is so detached from the dance floor mm-hmm. and so detached from your guest that it actually makes the job harder for the DJ, which is going to reflect on how well the dance is going, because the DJ is having to work twice as hard as he normally would. And that's when sometimes, especially when these non-professional DJs, mistakes are made. Mm-hmm. And then you have grandma, you know, barking at him all night because the music's too loud and she wants to sit down and talk at her table, and it's a reserved table. And that's where she's supposed to sit. But there's not a whole lot that we can do about that, mm-hmm. except to maybe ask, hey, can we move this reserved table over here or do something like this?
The upside is usually after dinner and toast and stuff like that, the seating chart becomes a lot more fluid.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, grandma and grandpa are going to go find somebody that they know to talk their ear off about the same story they've told mm-hmm. a million times at this point. But hey, mm-hmm. that's what they're supposed to do.
Exactly. So interviewing that DJ kind of, you know, and is the key to finding someone to has those right credentials. We're a great example of that. We've been around since 1974. We are working on year number 50. This franchise alone does somewhere between 600 and 800 events a year. And it just, when you don't know where to start, that's where you want to start, is find out, okay, what company has been around for the longest? Because let's face it, there's not a whole lot of companies that have been around for 50 years, let alone wedding businesses are usually here today, gone tomorrow, period. And when you get those ones that have been sticking around for a while, there's a reason why they've stuck around for a while.
Do you know if anyone that we've interviewed for the podcast has closed doors?
Not that I know of. No, but we're really picky on who we pick on the podcast too. Mm-hmm. But no, not yet. Well, I take that back. K-Town Cakes changed owners and they moved, but they didn't close their doors. They just switched owners.
Okay.
The old owner, she didn't want to do it anymore. Or just, she's just tired of waking up in the morning at 4:30 and getting stuff ready and stuff like that. And so
baking is a ruthless profession.
It is. So, if you're not sure where to...
Driving services. I've seen a lot of those limo companies.
Right. But the only one we've had on the podcast is Price, and he's been around for, 10, 15 years?
I saw a party bus for sale on Facebook Marketplace for like $13,000, and I'm like...
Called Drew.
New venture.
No. I would never do that. Never do that.
It comes with like full-out... It built-in sound system.
But you have to have somebody with a CDL, and you have to have a certain liquor license, and
yes,
the insurance on those things is horrible. I mean, things like that. So you need a guy like Drew who's been in it around and knows the system and realize, well, I got to have more than one thing to get this going. And so when you have just the one, it doesn't work all that well. You need to get a fleet of two or three of them minimum to get started, in my opinion. But that's just me. I don't know. I don't know anything about that.
I was just talking about for us.
Just for us.
Yeah, we used to do party buses for our yearly party.
There you go.
We just find someone with a commercial driver's license and be like, hey, we'll pay you in booze after.
There you go.
Yes.
So, but that kind of what I was talking about is, you know, doing your research and talking and interviewing your DJ or your DJ company is huge. And so number two, what it led me to was hiring entertainers without seeing them. Now they call into us, and I would say 8 or 9 times out of 10, when I ask them, how did you hear about us? Oh, I saw you at a prom. Oh, I saw you at a homecoming. Oh, I saw you at my sister's wedding. Oh, you did my cousin's wedding, blah, blah. So they have seen us. That is one of the benefits of being around for 50 years, is that we're also getting the phone call. Well, yeah, you did my parents' wedding, mm-hmm. which is awesome, because pretty soon that's going to be, well, you did my grandma's wedding. We've been around 50 years. That is two generations easily. So, you know, hiring entertainers without seeing them is not a good thing. When you call up Bubba's Pretty Good Jukebox and he says, yeah, I'm $600 and I'll come and do it all night for you. What are your references? Oh, I don't know. John down the street, you know, there's the Margaret, you know, she's a secretary for my other job. And, you know, if you never have seen them or could see,
I'm on good terms with my ex-wife.
You haven't seen
him.
She's my sister. And things like that. But you gotta be able to look at references. Not necessarily. We will never do this. This is just part of our company policy. And people do ask, when is an event in my area where I can go see your guys? No, not cool. That is a private event. You are not invited. I don't know you. And if I lose your business, so be it. I don't want to be the company that says, well, yeah, they just tell people when you're getting married and they just walk in. Okay. Because there are people out there that will take advantage of that. They will eat the food. They will have a good time. They will drink the drink. Mm-hmm. And he was pretty good. Okay. But I am not that guy. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to tell you whose event and when it is, because you want to go look at the DJ.
Well, we specifically as a company, like the minimum amount of contact you can have is, you like sign up online, you pay all your stuff online, and then you have a phone call with your DJ the week before, and then they show up.
Right. And then,
but if you want more, like, we do that.
Right. That's what you say. That's why we have a support staff here. That is why it's not, thanks for the money, see you Saturday.
It's like, if you need to contact the office for reasons, you have those resources. Right. But if you want to specifically talk to the guy who's coming to your event, like, we do those things. I've had multiple times where I've sat down with people before they've even booked us.
Yeah. Well, I remember that one. She was trying to pick between you and Brock.
Yeah, there was that one. There was also the one that he was the, I think he was the son of my college acting teacher. She got my reference from somebody who was still a student there at the time because I'd already graduated. And I'm like, absolutely. I'll sit down in the coffee shop and talk to you about what you want. And, you know, got to go see a bunch of my old teachers again.
Nice. Nice. So yeah, hiring the entertainer without seeing them is not a good way to do it. And I get it. There are people out there that say, oh, it's just a DJ. They're not that important. But the problem with that phrase is they aren't important until they are.
Yes.
So that first time you hear that DJ shouldn't be.
If you think the DJ is not important, you've been with mostly good DJs.
Okay. I could see that because like a good DJ is going to make it look easy.
Yeah. If you think the DJ is not important, it's because every DJ you've seen has made things run very smoothly. Because once you get one bad event with a DJ.
Right.
Oh.
Right. Well, then there's a stereotypical, you know, stereotype comes around. But that's what I was going to say. For the first time you hear from your DJ should not be your big day. Should not be your big day. Well, yeah. Well, I wrote everything out for him. Well, that's great. But you know how much stuff can get lost in translation just by reading the gig sheets. And we have gig sheets that have been, they've been. It's sorry, my daughter's calling me.
Daddy,
Cameo podcast.
So, well, I don't know if we can put it. I don't think I already messaged her. So, but basically. Ideally, you should have talked to them in person over the phone, or better yet, maybe if your friend used us or this other DJ, get their number through a friend that they need. Well, yeah, here. And that's big in this industry. You know, we can throw as much money as we want as in TV, radio, print advertising, things like that. The biggest way to advertise any business really is word of mouth. I don't care what I read online. I'm pretty sure it's just them leaving. Go check it out.
It's rung three times now, so the math is not mathing.
Oh, I didn't hear this. I guess I didn't hear it all. So, you know, that first time should not be that day, and you need to have talked to this person before. Like I said, get that name and number from a friend that's used them or something like that. We have an entire page dedicated to reviews, and I'm not saying Google reviews. You can go on our Google or on our website and see the Google reviews. That's fine. We have nothing to hide there either. But we have another page that is done by a third party company called Listen 360. We have no control over these, and they go out every day at midnight if there's an event, and they basically ask them a series of 1, 2, 3 questions. We can't control that. We can't call this company up and say take that off. Because they will say, no, that's not why you're paying us. So we can't control those. And so we post those on a separate web page as well. And you can go through that. I believe there's over 2,000. There might be closer to 3 now. Reviews.
And then we pull some of those off and put them on the website, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We do. And then, like I said, then there's Google reviews, which if you go through there, you'll see that too. So that's how you really kind of research.
Are we on Yelp? Is that a thing?
No.
Not anymore.
Well, I mean, it's a thing, but we're not on it. Yeah, Yelp isn't, but The Knot is also one we're on that we have reviews on, the Wedding Wire, which is the same company.
The Knot one is new, right? Like we haven't gotten very many of those.
So, no, The Knot's really not big in this area. It's really not big in this area. So,
that's what I meant. It's new for us to get reviewed on The Knot.
Right. So, number three, and I need to find out what my daughter needs here real quick, because it's kind of important. So I'm going to let you guys take this one. Number three, hiring someone without MC skills. Hiring that person who's just going to plug in their phone and walk away.
Oh, no Dave on the podcast for a second. Oh, no. Well, I guess this is now the David and Logan show.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, no MC skills. We kind of talked about that a little bit, but
It's hit or miss with some people being afraid to talk to somebody.
Well, I don't even know if it necessarily has to do with the fear. It's more of just like people who don't understand how to engage an audience.
True.
It's where the stigma of the, oh, you're a DJ, so you sit back there and you press buttons and play on your computer. And it's like, no. Who have you seen?
That just hits play and doesn't pick up this thing right in front of us.
What weddings have you been to that's the case? Like, I can understand school dances, because even at school dances, there's not much we can do.
No.
But, oh, he's back.
No, well, I'm texting her right now, so I don't know. I said she's right in the middle of wedding SWAT. What do you need? No, I didn't say that. but I said, what's up? Do you need me to call you? And so she's texting now, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, you guys hit it on the head, like, there.
Daddy, my dress is not fitting me.
No.
For prom.
No. Oh, no. We've gotten that taken care of. The ladies over at Hello Beautiful, they did everything. They did everything for that.
You think prom is a problem time for Dave's family? Like,
no.
He knows how this works.
I was going to say, not only have I experienced it, but I've also experienced it. So
I always say, when I get married, if I ever do, like, oh my God, it's going to be weird.
It is. I can see that.
So weird from this angle.
Yeah, I can see that, because you're gonna in the back of your mind, you're gonna be.
I'm gonna be over there like polishing my hands the entire time, just like, you need some help.
Yep.
Come on.
Let me just move.
I need to do something. I have nervous energy.
Get out of my way. Just let me push the button and make the announcements. Let me push
one button, please. One button.
Oh, so I used to be talking. A DJ. Okay.
But yeah, so I'm trying to think, because I don't know that I've been to too many weddings that I wasn't part of complete or something like that.
Or interactive?
Well, because I started right out of high school. So it's like, I didn't go to a lot of weddings that I remember before I worked here. And ever since I've worked here, it's like mostly been this.
Have you had any friends' weddings that you went to?
The one wedding that I went to recently was my cousin's, but she had a live band. And so, you know, they have no choice but to be interactive. if the live band isn't interactive, I think you might have a problem.
So what kind of music was the live band playing?
Oh, well, they played like some of the dance hits in between some of their sets, but then they were mostly just doing like covers of, you know, popular country stuff and a few rock hits, stuff like that. They were good. They're a very good band. I don't remember their name at the top of my head at the moment, but they knew my uncle, so it was kind of a favor deal from what I understand.
So how'd they play like regular hits in between?
They had like a setup to
like a stereos.
Yeah. They had a whole deal there. So it was like they would play a set and then they would go and take a break and they would play, you know, the dance hits, the line dances, all those things. So our icebreakers.
Well, and that's what comes to it really is when you're hiring with MC school skills, somebody with MC 911 one more time. When you're hiring someone without MC skills, they're usually someone who doesn't know how to set up icebreakers, doesn't know how to set up this, doesn't know how to set up all these things. So, you know, playing great music is fine. It's great. That's 50% of the job. But when you're at a wedding reception, you know, your DJ totally neglects their MC duties. I mean, you got a jukebox. Mm-hmm. You might as well plug in your phone and not have to worry about it. But MC doesn't come naturally to everybody. I would say that the three of us in this room are probably natural. Well, I know you and I are because of our theater background. And David, I don't know with you.
I'm usually pretty good.
Well, it's just
it's the work phone.
It's a lot of things.
Jesus.
I know. It's like people are trying to hire something.
Hold it together.
I know. But MC doesn't come naturally to a lot of people. And so hiring someone with those skills can be a big hit or miss. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the things that we always tell people in the interview is, have you been in fine arts? Have you been in choir? Have you been in speech? Because I can't teach you how to have that poise behind a microphone. So you're not picking up and going...
Did I ever tell you about the guy that I had like as a trainee back when Callahan was manager?
No.
It was apparently a friend of his, and we had our
Andrew's friend.
Apparently, he was a very small Weasley kind of guy, and we had our event at the Coop Banquet Hall, so it was a very short drive, which was nice, but immediately. The fact that he couldn't smoke was a problem, which for those of you that don't know, we forbid our DJs from smoking once they are dressed for their event.
Nope, you can't even vape.
It's like once you are dressed, you do not touch it until your equipment's back in your locker because we do not want you or your equipment.
Let's be honest. If you can't go that long without a fix, you have an issue, number mm-hmm. one, that you probably need to fix for yourself mm-hmm. because damn.
Yeah. But so then at the event, it was like, I set up like two songs. I think it was two country songs. I'm like, there's this beginning of a set. Give me like 3-4 more songs. I'll be back here in a second and I'll check on how you're doing. I walk away. I come back. And he had like placed one song that was like 2 decades removed from the song that I had placed.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, so song choice we'll have to work on.
Yeah.
Then I told him, hey, you feel comfortable making an announcement tonight? He's like, I'm not really comfortable.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So we're not comfortable on the mic yet. Cool. And I'm like, okay, couple's right over there. They've been really nice all night. Just go check on them, see how they're doing, ask them if they need anything, and then come back. And he wasn't comfortable doing that. And so when I came back the next day, you know, and talked to Callahan, I'm like, so he's not comfortable on the microphone. He's not comfortable talking to people, and he has no idea how to pick songs. And he also really needs to smoke. What did he think he was signing up for?
Right. So, yeah. No, so
what did he think he was signing up for?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just people think it's pushing buttons and talking on a mic, and some people think it's just pushing buttons, and that's not
or
it.
Or I can just walk away and take a
smoke break. Right. Well, that's the thing. Is playing music is one thing.
I think some people think that we put together like playlists as a company, and then we just like, you just go out and you play this playlist.
We have playlists, but they are lists that we go to in a certain scenario. It's not a... Well, I can play these 35 songs every single time and it's going to work. Doesn't work that way.
There's lists of songs that are like these work every time, but it's never like I just drag and drop the entire thing in that order every time. It's like you sit there and you shuffle them. Like sometimes I'll do things where it's like, that one. And then I'll spend the night kind of reorganizing and taking requests and moving things up and down. And
yeah, I do that too. You get that one request. You're like, ooh, that would work right now. And you load it.
So it's like there's an element of that, but it's not the kind of thing where it's just like we load up a whole playlist and you just let it run night.
And that is a horrible way to do your wedding. I'm sorry. I'm not saying it's wrong. It just does not work out well.
Really? Because you have to go to the bathroom really bad and long.
Right. Well, that's what auto cue's for. That's when you load 3 or 4 songs and go, I got to go. And that's really the only time I use auto cue is for that reason. Well, and at the very beginning of the night when they're playing background music, where you're going around talking with guests and things like that. But otherwise, I don't use it because I want to be able to adjust on the fly, read the room, feel that vibe that they were talking about. So, yeah, you know, music is one thing, but being comfortable behind the mic, that's completely something different. And so if you're hiring a DJ who isn't familiar with weddings, you know, they may not have the experience of addressing a crowd or making announcements properly. So if you get them, I've done a lot of high school proms, or I've done a family reunion or here or two, or a birthday party. That is not wedding experience. There is a reason why when we hire people this time of year, it is a double-edged sword for us, because yes, we can get them trained on some mic work. Yes, we can get them trained on system setup, but we can't get them fully wedding trained because there's not a whole lot of weddings this time of year. And so we are sending them out on proms and we tell them, okay, we can only do about half your training right now because it is prom season. It's not wedding season. And so then we have to get them back in as quick as possible after prom season is over and get them finish the rest of their training on a wedding, because we need to show them the difference between emceeing a wedding and emceeing a prom, doing a wedding, doing a prom, the type of music you're going to play during a wedding versus a prom. So there's so many things that go into it. So if you're hiring someone, they do the school dance every year. That's probably not going to work for your wedding. Probably not. It could. There may be a diamond in the rough out there, but.
Well, and if you're getting married fresh out of high school, like maybe it's still kind of the same crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then that means you can't invite aunts, uncles, grandparents.
Well, that's the thing. School dances tend to be somewhat appropriate. Somewhat.
Yeah.
Depends on where you're going. I have Sydney on my books, and Sydney is a fun school for me.
Right.
I just remember last year I got Sydney, and on the phone with the teacher, she just said, we're not too worried about school appropriateness. Make the kids have fun.
Just keep them here.
Yeah, like... Oh, and they were the best crowd I had last year. Right. So I'm excited again.
Right. Number 4 on the list, playing the wrong version of the song, which has happened to me.
I have done
it. Yes, it has.
And it happens to every DJ in the beginning of their career. And it happens once, and you make sure it never happens again.
Yes.
So imagine this for those of you watching at home. You're getting married. You're stepping out onto the dance floor. It's the first dance. You've rehearsed this dance with your spouse, now spouse, for months. That first note starts, and it's and there is no coming back from that as a DJ. You can't just go, everybody forget what you heard. It didn't happen. So it's this techno remix of this favorite country song they wanted to dance to for the first time as yes. husband and wife, or daddy daughter, or mother son. And I mean, the horror stories that I have heard and seen where the DJ plays the first dance song and it's the right it's the right song, just the wrong version. This or worse yet, during your ceremony.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
That is why we check our songs before we get there, or we get there right away and go, okay, let me check this, make sure. And I do, after I set up the what I do my sound check to is I load all the spotlight songs and listen to them mm-hmm. all the way through, because you don't know if that MP3 has been corrupted or for some odd reason, it's not the whole song and it just stops, which has happened.
I think my Mr. Blue Sky Electric Lights Orchestra is like, for some reason, only 1/3 of what it should be. Like the rest of the song's just gone. It's missing.
Right.
But in regards to like the songs, if you are selecting specific songs for your wedding or your reception, your ceremony, whatever, put the name of the song, the artist of the song, and specify, especially if there's multiple well-known versions of that song, which version it is. If you want Simple Man, that's great. Is it the Lynyrd Skynyrd version? Is it the rock version by Shinedown or the acoustic version by Shinedown? Because I've played all three at weddings.
Yes, I have too.
And it's like all three of them can work. Some people are more rock and roll and they want the rock version of the Shinedown version. Some people really like the acoustic version of Shinedown. Some people want the original. So if you're doing that for your, you know, mother-son dance, you need to specify exactly which one it is. Because the last thing you want to have happen is for us to either play the wrong one or to have to like clarify that when we're there. And it's like, oh, now we have to find this one and do that and get all that. So, yeah, please specify your versions. And if I can beg anything, stop looking on YouTube.
Yes, big time on YouTube.
Oh, my God. Listen, I know that there's a lot of like, you know, small indie artists, acoustic covers, all those sorts of things that weddings love on YouTube. But you need to understand a couple of things. The first one being that YouTube has ads. And while there are certain ways to get around ads, it's not always consistent. The second thing is YouTube almost always requires internet connection. So if you are requiring us to get like, oh, we want our walk down for our ceremony to be this one specific version of this one specific song that only exists in this one URL on YouTube, and you're having your wedding out on the farm near Shelton where there is no internet
out there. Yep. Absolutely.
And it's like, understand, like, how are we supposed to provide that? Because right. more than likely, we're not going to have permission to download that off of YouTube.
No. No, not at all. And we shouldn't be downloaded off YouTube anyway. So now if they provide that, that's a different law.
I was talking about, I don't know if you heard it because Dave just stepped away for the phone. If you are doing anything, specify versions. And the example I used was Simple Man by Lynyrd Skynyrd or mm-hmm. the two versions by Shinedown.
What I do is I say, especially during a ceremony, send me a Spotify link of those songs so I know the exact version you are talking about because we have 26,000 songs on in our library. We're most likely going to have that song.
And if we don't, we have the Spotify link to find them.
We can find them legally, I might add. Mm-hmm. Find them.
Yeah. If you can't find it on Spotify, then chances are you should find it on Spotify. Yeah.
So, not planning for breaks. That is more of one for musicians. When not DJs, but like live bands, some people don't plan for that, which is there's several reasons to have a DJ over a live band. This is one of the bigger ones, is that people aren't planning for breaks. So a band can rarely play for hours without taking a break, rest their voice, rest their fingers if you're a guitar player, grab a drink of water. And if you don't plan for that and you have a live band, you can end up with a really awkward silence in the dance floor. Basically, then they're going to start, well, we're going to take a 20-minute break, and then they're going to plug in an iPod or something like that, or and play some music, mm-hmm. and it's going to kill your vibe, and your dance floor will just be the wet blanket of the party.
I will say there is something that I like to consider, like, breaks during the dance that I kind of plan out. One is slow songs.
Right.
Like
you're talking DJ specific.
Yes.
Okay.
When we play slow songs, it's kind of like giving everybody a second to, okay, breathe, do a little slow dance, go get a drink, go to the bathroom, that stuff. Cause some people are just there to party.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, then we bring you back. But I also tend to like to throw in, especially, you know, later in the night, you know, once in every couple of sets, here's a song that everyone will enjoy, but isn't really like a dance floor song.
Right.
And this is the, okay, I can clearly see that you guys need a second. Mm-hmm. So here's your song. Go sit down. Friends, go talk to somebody.
Places. Slow songs are a great way to do that. The dollar dance is a great time. That's mm-hmm. usually when the DJ takes a break because, again, we don't use song set lists, but I do have a set list I use for a dollar dance for a couple of reasons. Number one, and not to get off on a tangent here, number one, it's weird dancing to Uncle Carl to Endless Love. It really is. And so the song sets that I have are more of a mellow pace song where you can tap your foot to. It's not a lovey-dovey, squishy, touchy-feely song. And they're usually about friendship or money. Because let's face it, that's what a dollar dance is all about, friendship and money. And so I will let that play. And I have an hour's worth. I've never played the entire thing. Maybe usually 15, 20 minutes tops.
Billy Joel's Piano Man works for me.
There's another one, Friends in Low Places. That's another great one.
But I like holding on to that one for the end of the night.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. Oh. So if you're having...
There's nothing better than drunk people going, I got friends in low places.
If you're having a band...
Or just, hand in hand, yeah. Sweet Caroline.
You might want to ask them, you know, how do they handle breaks and how many do they take and how long are those breaks? Things like that, because it will destroy the vibe and the energy in the room very easily. So, having a one track playlist was also something I kind of ran into and your guests were probably spanning a wide range. Okay. Looking at me, look like, what the hell are you talking about? Wide range of ages and musical tastes. So if every song is a 2015 EDM hit,
sounds like my kind of party, right? Oh,
yeah, okay. You're 28, though. You're 28.
I'm 27.
You're 28 this year. But just like I'm 46 this year. I'm not 46 yet, but I'm 45. I don't mind the occasional, but I don't want to listen to it all night.
Boopesh.
So, yeah. Mold. Yeah. You do that pretty good, actually. And your grandma might not feel like she's included on the dance floor.
It's like, then, man, these guys really like Scatman.
Scatman's good.
Oh yeah,
it's good.
But there's only so many times you can listen to.
So consider the diverse taste of your guests is what I'm saying, and that's what we do here. We go around table by table. And I'm very, very specific on how I ask this. I don't want to say, hey, what do you want to listen to tonight? I always ask, what do you want to dance to tonight? Because I'm not there for your listening pleasure. I am there for your entertainment pleasure.
See, and I think I've talked about this before and where I've disagreed with this, where I do not like doing table requests.
Right.
Because in my mind, if you can't be bothered to come up to the DJ booth and tell me, how can I trust you to get off your butt to dance to it? That's True. Always been my philosophy.
True, but it also makes your job a heck of a lot easier because you're not shooting from the hip all night.
That's true.
Because there's going to be songs on that list where you're like, oh, I never even thought of that song. Or a song that is like a theme song for the family and you don't know about that. Obviously, the bride and groom didn't let you know.
We are family by sister.
There you go. There's always someone who tells me, I swear it's the one thing that I can never escape is people showing up being like, oh, this is this one song between like all the men and the groomsmen. This is our song from college.
Was it? Yes. There was a song by James Taylor that happened. And when she came up, I thought she was kidding. Down to Caroline or let me look at it. Cause it's really bothering me now. But she came up and I'm like, I know the song, but I'm like, no one's going to want to dance to that. The entire, Caroline on My Mind. That's what it is. The entire family came out and it was packed and they knew every single word to that. Well, let me see here. Yeah.
Copyright.
We got 30 seconds as long as we talk over it. So, yeah, everybody usually knows this song after they've heard it. Okay.
Yeah.
And I could have Bluetooth to make it a little better, I guess, but I didn't do that.
It gives me Dixieland Delight vibes.
Yeah. So, but they knew every single lyric to this song and they were all dancing to it. I'm just like, what the crap? Where am I? You know, it's a great song. Don't get me right, but it's not one you want to dance to your wife or your spouse or your partner with.
It's like Kearney High School and Come On, Eileen.
Yes.
What is it with that song, Kearney High School?
It's just the thing for them. Okay. I don't know.
I'm not judging. I'm like, dang, okay.
But it's got to be one of them like generational things where it's like, you know, the seniors like it because when they were freshmen, it was the song that was played and the seniors liked it back then. It's like, it's just kind of like, I don't know that any of them have a particular reason. It's just they've been grandfathered in.
So it's evolved is basically what you say.
Come On, Eileen has been grandfathered into favoritism for them.
Okay. This next one is something that we've actually had a podcast about. Not considering the kids. We did a podcast on whether you should or should not, or how to have a under 16 or under 18 wedding and how to have an 18 years and older reception. So if you decide to invite kids or to have people, friends and family, bring your kids, it's a good idea to make them feel included. And I will tell you this. I have had better reviews.
Better pizza at Papa John's.
And better tips when I include the kids. And you just got to do it at the beginning of the night because that's when most of them are there anyway.
Yes.
Where you're doing the, oh my God, musical chairs. Oh my God, they're doing the hokey pokey. Oh my God, they're doing the chicken dance. Okay. Yes. But if you're entertaining those kids while mom and dad can talk and the bride and groom see that, oh my gosh, DJ, they love you. Love you.
See, I do things like Can't Stop the Feeling because that was in the Trolls movie. Basically, yeah. Any songs that you found in like any of the recent kids movies,
September,
play those.
Yep.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Mm.
Yep. So if you decide to have kids, good idea to make them feel included. And you don't want their parents pulling the children from the dance floor because of inappropriate words and suggested content. So make sure that if you're going to play those types of songs, do a little bit later in the night. And we sell it that way too. You know, we won't play anything with bad words in it, but there are things like the song Wings and Pizza. You guys know what I'm talking about? W-A-P.
Yeah.
So that one we can't play at all.
It's a three-letter word.
It's a three-letter word. And I love people say, play WAP. And I play J-WAP. WAP. And they're like, that's not WAP. I go, yes, it is. And they go, no, the other one. I go, that's WAP, and I'm not playing it.
Yeah, that's the one.
Learn how to read. Learn to read.
Oh, please slap me out. I love that song.
So, but if children are part of the guest list, you got to include maybe some kids-friendly songs, more of an adult-themed music a little bit later. Mm-hmm. You can do that. So now, this one I'm big on because there seems to be, or it's kind of done, but when there was a couple halls just kind of popping up all over, and they're like, oh yeah, I can just, you know, put some speakers up and they can use my system, or, you know, they can come in and plug in an iPad or something like that. And I'm a DJ now, that we have an in-house DJ. No, you don't. And do they have the right equipment? Because there is a venue that is still in business that I will not name, and they know who they are. And we've talked to them about this. And they said, well, yeah, we spent, you know, X amount of dollars to have these speakers put in to the hall. And they did. They're PA speakers.
And they sound like this when you play the music. And it sounds horrible. Absolutely horrible.
It just made me, you've seen Robots, right?
Yeah.
With Robin Williams and all that.
Yeah.
And he shows up at the train station at the city, and that one robot just actually sounds like.
Right. You know that's how the voice actor did that. I'll guarantee it's how he did that. So. But not every venue has sound equipment, and not every DJ has professional equipment. And that, and they expect that if you're traveling DJ, you're going to have your own equipment. That's just a given. But you don't want to end up the morning of your wedding finding out that you do not have a professional sound system at the venue, or that your DJ does not have a professional sound system. I'm sorry, your Bluetooth speaker ain't going to cut it. It's not. And I know they've come a long way. I have probably three or four of them personally. But unless if you have a professional sound system like my system I have, yes, they're not Bluetooth speakers, but they can connect via Bluetooth. But they are not considered a Bluetooth speaker. But yeah, I could connect my phone to them if I needed to, but that is not that is not what they're used for. So I cannot stress enough the importance of the quality sound equipment. Good speakers can make a world difference on how your music is being experienced. And if you're going the DIY route, you might want to consider investing in or renting or doing something like getting some quality sound system. But if you're going to do that, to be honest, it's worth the extra money to just rent that DJ out and go from there. So
I found it.
Found? Did you?
I found the sound effect. Okay. This is what that one hall sounds like.
Hi, excuse me. How do I get to Big Weld Industries?
Yes. Yep.
What?
It's like that one on Spaceballs. What? And he knocks it off. Gag. What is it? We're having trouble with the radar, sir.
Yeah.
Another thing, moving on here, playing too many songs during the ceremony.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not talking before the ceremony. I'm not talking background music.
Yeah.
I am talking you, and I've done this. There was a separate wedding march for every couple, and there was eight couples. So there was eight songs played before the bride and groom even had their song played where she walked down the aisle.
Oh, man.
Okay. Too much music, yes, is a thing.
Listen.
We have a lot of boxes on our booking sheets. It is not a challenge to fill them all. It's not.
It's to show variety.
Yeah. Here's all the things you could have. The things you could do. If you're taking this as a guide of like, oh, we need to do all of these things. No. Cool. Stop. Please.
There's so not enough time in a night.
Right. Like there's a happy medium. Do not hire us to do your ceremony to play two songs. It's a waste of your money.
Yeah.
Like I've had that happen where it's like, you just want one song for when the bride walks down and then one song for when we walk
and
away.
We'll do it because we have the microphone too, which is important, but
You're,
is the value there?
Yeah, it's like more often than not, your officiants should be able to speak loud enough anyway. if they are used to public speaking, they know how to do it.
You must have had worse ones. Outside ceremonies.
Okay, that's just another bad decision. But
it's my best friend Tom. He doing it.
My brother got ordained. He's gonna do it.
So it's like there's that happy medium. Like don't do those two songs. But then it's like, okay, we're gonna have like three songs for the wedding party, or one song for the mothers, one song for the wedding party, one song for the flower girls, one song for the ring bearer, one song for the bride, and then we're doing like a song for the unity candle, and then we're doing another, like someone else is performing a little song on a ukulele halfway through. Right. I've had that happen. Some guy on a ukulele was killing that ceremony.
Over the rainbow.
Probably. So yeah, the basic rule is, how long the walk and how many people will be in the ceremony. That is the rule. You need one, maybe two songs at the most. Or what I suggest, one song. And if you get to the end of it, just have the DJ repeat it.
Yeah, that's the great thing about it.
And guess what? With our systems, we can fade out and fade in. And there it's seamless. You don't even hear the end of the song. Like, okay, well, there's 10 seconds left. I probably should fade it in on the other side. We can have up to six decks going at the same time if we wanted to. So,
but that's if we have the power and set up for our sound system.
Right, right.
If you're asking for a ceremony speaker, it's a little bit of a different situation. But
right, you just got to use your laptop.
Yeah.
So, but if you have a shorter walk, a smaller wedding party, then you probably don't need three to four songs. It's not, you know, you'll need one for your processional is what I recommend. But, you know, everybody's to each their own. But I've done them where, like I said, where there was eight people, eight songs, and the bride and groom was number nine. So now here's the next big one. not letting the timeline guide the music. And what I mean by that is if you don't let your event flow and the timeline guides the music selection that you're doing it wrong. Because if you're going to say, okay, we're going to do the cake cut at 7:30, at 7:35, we're going to do our first dance, or at 7:36, we're going to do our, no, sweetie, that's not going to work. I'm sorry. If you want an order of operations, that is fine. If you want to say,
I encourage that.
Yeah. Intro, dinner, cake cut, speeches. That's fine. You can do that for us, but when you put times down, mm-hmm. it becomes a game of get there before, and you're never going to make it. Or if you do make it, you're going to be a half hour, 45 minutes early.
I will tell, because I get some brides occasionally who are very well prepared, and that this is just the type of personality they are.
Yeah.
They want to put everything on a schedule. And I just tell them, listen, give me that copy of that order of operations that you got. And then I'm going to tell you this as someone who has done 300 events at this point. Times all here on the right side. Cut the paper in half. You don't need that.
Right.
Because once we get there, there is no guarantee on how it's going to flow. And
that's if they get there on time, which they never do.
This, like, you might be 15 minutes late getting off the party bus. And mm-hmm. then I have to get you lined up. You're mm-hmm. all going to want to go to the bathroom. You're mm-hmm. all going to have to finish your drinks before you mm-hmm. come into the venue.
And then 20 minutes after you get there, you're finally ready to go in.
Yeah. Then we do the entrance. And then you have to sit there and everyone gets their jackets off and gets mm-hmm. their stuff settled. Mm-hmm. And they're, oh, here mm-hmm. comes the bridesmaid's kid who wants to see mommy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now we can do a blessing. Now we can start dinner. You guys go through. Oh, and now the people go through. And we don't know how fast the dinner lines are going to go. No. I've seen dinner lines that are... like that.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Eunice.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Eunice, man, they get people through there quickly.
600 kids in 10 minutes.
Well, and they're not rushing them. They just have figured out the logistics of everything.
It's a science.
It is a science.
Eunice Center.
And it's just, boom, they're gone. Okay, there's 400 people. It took us 45 minutes to go through the line. Yeah, we're ready.
When I did Kearney High School last year, it was incredible. They set up three dinner lines. Paul Eunice was one of the guys cutting brisket.
I'm sure he was.
And he was getting on me about, like, we start soon? And I'm like, they're still breathalyzing them. I'm just doing my job.
So,
he's a very good man, but he's also ornery as hell.
Oh, yeah.
He's an ornery
But he's ornery in a good way.
I'm a sit here and tug on your earring kind of guy.
Yes. What, have I told you that story? where we had a DJ who had two huge diamond studs, and he was on the other side of the table, and he goes, come here. And the DJ leaned over, and he grabbed him by the studded diamond earring and pulls down on his ears, and he's just going, ah! And Paul goes, you work for me, you would not be able to wear these.
He's just the way he is. But so they ended up, finally, last kid sits down for the breathalyzer. Immediately start dinner. 600 kids, 10 minutes.
I believe it.
They tore down two of the buffet lines, and they were like, you announced the seconds, and I'm like,
and it's like the pans that they serve them in are pressure weighted, and as soon as they get under a certain limit, an alarm goes off in the kitchen and they come flying in with more. It is amazing to watch them just
we're down to like one quarter of the green beans and more green beans.
And more green beans are just here. Oh gosh, I hope they had more potatoes. Oh, okay. They do have more potatoes.
They've cut through an entire brisket. That's a big slab of meat.
So it's amazing to watch them.
And then you'll have those ones where it's like, even with two tables doing double-sided, it'll take a table of eight people 10 minutes to get through it for some reason.
Yeah.
It happens. Yeah. So don't get yourself tied down to these ideas. I always say this. What time does your photographer leave?
Yeah.
Because usually the photographer wants to get a couple of like things from the general dance, and that's the last thing, because before that it's like specialty. So basically I say, oh, your photographer has to leave at 8:30. Then I want to be done with our last specialty dance by like 8:25.
Right.
And that way they can get 5 minutes of that first cha-cha slide or whatever mm-hmm. we play, because that's all they're going to need.
Well, it's monotonous after that, because it's pictures of people dancing upon pictures upon people dancing and upon pictures
same
of people dancing.
Same video.
And video same way. So we already kind of went over this next one, choosing a DJ without wedding-specific experience. Here's another one. Huh? Letting budget play too big of a role.
Mm.
Now, I understand things are expensive as hell right now, and they're not going away anytime soon, and I will doubt we'll ever see things go down too much anymore.
On that note, book us on our website, please.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is our prices are set to go up April 1st because they have to. They have to. Not that we want to. They have to. And so if you are picking any wedding vendor due to price, you're doing it for the wrong reason. You need to look at the value of things. Yes, there are $300, $400, $500, $600 DJs out there. And yes, there are $900, $1,000 to $1,500 to up to $2,300 DJs in our area. We split the middle. There's a couple of reasons why we do that. Number one, we're not doing just one event a month. Number two, we can do several events in a weekend. So we can pass that savings on to our clients. Mm-hmm. But some people say that we are too expensive, which I get. You know, and that's fine. If we are, and we're not in your budget, I get it. Weddings are expensive, but sticking to your budget is crucial when planning the wedding. But if you are spending too little, you might not get the talent that you want at your event to make sure the event is a memorable event for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. So yes, you can find a good bargain on things. I'm not saying they're not out there. I honestly think that our prices are very, very good.
Especially if you get us at a bridal show.
Yeah. Especially if you get a bridal show, because you're talking almost $300 off the price it's going to be here come April 1st. So, yeah, they're getting a great value for that. Great value. So, and as much as we all love that that bargain, when you're looking for that DJ offering their services for a significantly lower price than the industry standard, which, by the way, in Nebraska is right around $1,000 for DJ. That is where it's at. Median. Okay. So if you're getting that for a significantly lower price than the industry standard, you might want to say, why? Why am I getting? And I've had people say that, well, you know, we've called people that are $1,500, $1,800 and you guys are $925. Why? And I will tell them why. I have no problem saying the reason why we can do that is because we can do several events in one weekend. And so we don't need to make sure that, hey, if I don't do this event this month, I may not have another one, so I'm going to raise that price. Plus, that's taking time away from my family and everything else, which it does. I understand that. I'm not saying they're wrong for doing this. Mm-hmm. But you might not have the wedding you want because you went a little cheaper on the food or the DJ or the photographer or the videographer.
Do we charge more in busier seasons?
Mm-mm. We don't.
I didn't think so.
We charge more for hours. Some DJs go out at a higher rate because just of where they're at, we have to charge a higher rate. So yeah, I'm talking to the three people in this room.
Yeah.
So we do that.
Us and then Cricket and then Mitch.
And
now,
then
right?
Mitch now. Yes. So,
which congratulations, Mitch.
Yeah.
Mitch on the Mitch in the morning.
Cooley, DJ Cooley. DJ Cool. Excuse me. But what I'm saying is that, you might want to look at it as an investment and not as the price tag.
Well, cause I was just saying we just brought on quite a few new, faces to the team.
We did.
So, you know, the chances of us being able to cover more things, you know, just went up.
Right. So and that's the thing is that, you know, we charge a little bit more for those. And then if we're at a bridal show and we only have like one or two spots on a day, there's probably a good indication that we're not going to be able to give you the discount just because of supply and demand. Mm-hmm. But that's the only reason why we ever raise the price. We don't say, well, you know, we're this price in January, but we're this price in June. We don't play.
We just go, we only have one slot available.
So that's usually what it is too. Mm-hmm. Usually what it is.
We have two dead weeks. No, don't we? Where no one can get anyone off or anything.
Yes. There's two or three already. Yeah.
Two. With the new people, is that liable to change?
Possibly, depending on how people we
stick around,
hire. You got to remember, just because we hire them doesn't make them mean they're gonna make it through training.
That's fair.
So, and that's and for those of you listening, is just how we run the business. Not everybody gets a shot at this by themselves.
Yeah. Anyone can put in an application.
Yeah.
A few of them get interviews.
Yeah.
A few of them get training.
Let's put it this way. We had 23 applicants this last time, and we'll have another hiring spree here probably in April. 23 applicants. 8 of them got interviews. 5 of them got hired. So out of 23 people, we took 5.
Which is so nice compared to where we were post-COVID.
Oh my gosh, it was teeth trying to find people.
Well, that was the thing, is if you had enough teeth in your mouth to smile, we hired you.
And along with everybody else, we weren't the only ones.
Yeah, it's like, just we need someone to man the frickin' wheel. Just right. Somebody.
Right, but look at the diamonds in the rough we pulled out of that too. Brock
got
Cricket.
Cricket. Even like, I don't know. Was there ever a question that we weren't going to hire Mitch with all of his experience?
No. And I was so excited.
Oh, we just like messing with him though.
Yeah, I know. And I was so excited and I had to double take and making sure it was the right Mitch because he's the reason why I got into this business. I did my senior year in high school, I shadowed the guys down at Hits 106. Mm-hmm. And it was just supposed to be a morning thing with him and little Dave. And I went in there for their, I don't know what it was. I had to be up by 6. It was like 6 to 9 or 6 to 10 or whatever it was. I can't remember what it was. And I loved it. And we had such a ball doing that show. They actually let me on the air, and I was doing some of the DJ stuff, and they were showing me what buttons to push, and I was introducing stuff and blah, blah, blah. And then Mitch just goes, do you want to hang around more? And I said, absolutely. And then I had Rito on the radio as the next guy up. And I had a blast with him, and he's letting me do the stuff. And Rito actually ran around. If you've ever been in their studio, they have a counter to their left, and it's kind of set up like this, mm-hmm. where the board's in front of them. Rito actually went around to the other side, and he goes, I'm letting you run it. And he sat down on the stool there, and I'm in front of the board running the commercials, but he's telling me what carts to put in for the commercials and what to play and things like that. But I was running everything, and it was a blast, and we had a lot of fun too. And then he goes, do you want to stay for more? And I'm like, heck yeah. And back then they had a Pepsi Top 9 at 9, mm-hmm. and it was the 9 most requested songs of the day. You would call in and request that song, and it was by the guy called the Ferg. And he shows up, and he goes, well, where are you going? I said, well, I'm done. And he goes, no, Mark said you wanted to hang around. I said, well, yeah, but he didn't say I could. And he's like, no, get back in here. So I was there from 6 a.m. I didn't leave the studio until 11:30 that night.
Did they feed you?
They did. They did feed me, actually. I was having a ball. And that's when I said, this might be something I want to work into. So when
formative memory unlocked.
Right. So when Mitch put in his application, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. The guy who started it all for me wants to come and work for the company. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome. So yeah, before Mitch got here, I held him in a higher esteem than most applicants because of that
used
reason.
To. Yeah.
Yeah. So
now we just screw with him.
Now we just mess with him. So
he got the bow tie, didn't he?
No.
Yeah, he did.
No, he didn't get the bow tie.
Yeah, he did.
He did?
Yeah. He got the bow tie. He got platinum, and then he got,
he got a booking club, right?
Probably a booking club, probably what it was.
Because Cricket got both the Red Eye and the
Roadhog.
Roadhog. These are awards, by the way, for our awards.
People are like, what the what?
So the bow ties are basically employee of the year.
Yeah. So the next one here we kind of talked about already, not taking into account the musical ties. Where'd that come from? I swear to God, I'm having a stroke.
You went from Australian to Tennessee, back to Australian,
to Georgia.
Complete Australian for music.
Crikey.
Here's the last one. Sleepy Cocktail Hour music. And I put this one on there because classical music is fine. I get it. But when you start to look out and you don't need to turn up the music when people are more and more people start to arrive, it's because you're putting them to sleep with the music. And I'm not saying it's bad music. It's because you have brought the energy so far down that people are in their green beans. You know what I mean?
So, I'm here.
Yeah. And it's beautiful. Classic music is beautiful. It's good for a cocktail hour for a bit. But even when I tell people, even if we're playing crooner music, the Michael Bublé's, the Sinatra's, the Dean Martin's, even those will lighten the mood so much that you will fall asleep.
Well, and yawns are contagious.
Yes.
And when you have a bunch of round tables with people staring at each other, and then people can see other people yawning out of the corner of their eye at the other table, one person yawns, that right. entire table starts mm-hmm. yawning, then every table around them starts yawning. It spreads right. like a virus. There you go.
David's now yawning.
Yes.
So what I do personally is if they want that, I'll play it. I have no problem doing that. But I give them a warning. And I usually say when the bride and groom gets there, let's switch it to something else. That way we're switching it up. But what I usually do is I start with the golden oldies, the 50s and 60s and 70s songs. Because a lot of people that get there early, that's the generation they're from. That's what they want to listen to. Okay. And then when the bride and groom get there, and they're all mellow songs you can tap your foot to, but maybe can't dance to on the dance floor, mm-hmm. but they're not slow.
I got 50s and 60s music for that.
Yeah, same thing. So when the bride and groom get there, then I switch it up from 50s, 60s, and 70s to 70s and 80s. And it's not, again, the bangers from the 70s and 80s. It's just music that people, oh, yeah, I know that's another. And they're tapping their foot to it at the table. It's keeping them awake. It's keeping that energy level.
Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, it's keeping that energy right there, mid-level, yes. or just kind of pushing it up and down a little bit. And that's what we recommend, because if you have Sleepy Cocktail Hour playing music or playlist, it's you're gonna go too soft, and you're going to kill the vibe very, very quickly. So, and there are great songs that you can play from that genre, and you can mix those in, and that is fine. I have no problem with that.
I think it's safe to say that at least when it comes to like Nebraska weddings, we are past the era of classical instrumental music outside of very specific mm-hmm. like processional, recessional songs.
And I'm sorry, country music can do the same thing if you play the slow country song over and over and over again. I have no problem playing country for background, but I'm going to put some upbeat music in there too, because if you play too much Michael Montgomery, the slow, I love the way she loves me and songs like it, you're going to put them asleep. Yes, I get it. It's love theme music. It's great music to listen to, but you're going to put them to sleep. See, David's already going away.
It's like, oh, Frank Sinatra, it's so good. And then everyone's going to sit here and go, man,
you got any Green Day?
Yeah.
Some Blink 182?
Yeah, something, man. Let's wake people up.
Just something where there's a drummer. Please. Any drummer.
Metallica?
So,
dig through the ditches. Give me some of that Dracula, Rob Zombie.
There you go.
Give it to me.
There you go. So that's pretty much it. There's about, 12 to 15 wedding music mistakes and kind of how to avoid them a little bit. We'll be continuing on some of these other topics in later podcasts. Sounds like we got a guest next weekend, too. So we're going to talk about them next weekend as well. This has been Wedding SWAT. SWAT standing for Special Weddings. Awesome yawning there. What are you doing, man?
You got me.
He got it. But this is all of us here at Wedding SWAT wishing you good day and good wedding.
Tired of August.